brothers and sisters in Christ, being alone is not a fun thing. In fact, it's very hard. And yet we can be alone with even people around us sometimes. You know, we get alone, don't we? They said that children were doing pretty well until about 2015. That's when cell phones came out, smartphones. And all the kids had to have a smartphone. And they've noticed suicide rate went way up, loneliness way up, dissatisfaction way up. And they said the kids aren't learning things like social interaction and everything because why? They're always got their face in that smartphone. And guess what else is reported? They're feeling very lonely. They have 3,000 friends on Facebook, but they're lonely and depressed. But we can be lonely and depressed because, you know, we kind of surround ourselves with just our little group of friends, and they're good. That's good. That's better than nothing. But we kind of cloister ourselves in our little groups, and we tend to then not see all the people and the God's people around us everywhere as we go from place to place. And so quite often, even adults now are reporting more and more they're feeling lonely. And a Christian really should never feel that way. Why? We have the Holy Spirit with us, but the Holy Spirit should move us forward. Now, you go to our Acts lesson today, we're going to see something. Now, Philip was one of the first deacons ever elected to the church in Jerusalem. But God finally came to him and called him and said, "Hey, Philip, I want you to leave this place and go to Gaza." Anybody remember, know where Gaza is? Heard it in the news? Yeah. So they went to go to Gaza, and Philip says, "Okay. Well, do we listen to what the Spirit is telling us?" Now, maybe he doesn't talk to us the way he talked to Philip, but when we're out somewhere, and maybe we were going over here, and maybe we're at the gas station, and the woman is crying. Do we hear her cry? Do we say something? Do we offer a prayer? Or maybe we're just standing in line at the grocery store, and maybe we should turn around and start talking to the people around us. Do we get to know everyone? Do we talk to people? Philip was called to leave the place where he went. So often we have to leave where we go. We have to get uncomfortable, leave the groups we're in. We have to get to know everyone. The biggest way of evangelism is simply to be friendly to everyone. Make friends everywhere. And Philip is told, "Hey, I want you to get up and go." So he goes. He listens to God. And how does God speak to you? He speaks by the Holy Spirit through your conscience. You can hear stuff. Sometimes you just know stuff and you do it. So Philip goes down to Gaza. "All right, God, what do you want me to do here? You know, it's a desert place. Hardly anybody wants to live in Gaza, especially at that time." And suddenly he sees a chariot. God says, "I want you to go and catch up with that chariot." Now, it's funny, the translations of that, some say overtake. It means just to simply go and be with, but to go to it. However, anyway, so they go. He goes up there, and he walks up, and what does he hear? He hears this Ethiopian who had converted to Judaism reading from Isaiah chapter 53. That's the suffering servant chapter, the prophecy that Christ would suffer. And he's reading that. Now, Philip overhears that. And if Philip, writing next to it, overhears that, he recognizes, that's from Scripture. Interesting how Philip recognizes Scripture. He knew the Bible. He knew Scripture. And we have to ask ourselves, do we know the Bible? If someone was reading that passage, would we say, "Oh, yeah, I know where that. I know that's from the Bible"? I hope you would. But, you know, a lot of us do not. A lot of us. Because, you know, it shows how important Scripture is in evangelism. Because God uses Scripture to move and bring people's hearts to His truth. Now, what is Scripture? Scripture is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. It settles the arguments. The old saying, "God said it, I believe it, that settles it," is really true. So we walk over here and our culture says, "Well, this is right, and this is right, and this is right, and this is true." And wait a minute, we go over here to Scripture. And Scripture says, "No, that's an abomination to God." Are you going to believe what our society is telling us? Or are you going to believe and stand by the Word of God? Are you going to say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I'm a Christian. Why? Well, God says his word. I believe God's word. Where are we? What do we set as the standard for our life? The Bible says in Hebrews, all scripture is good for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. I don't like to be told I'm wrong. I don't like to be told I'm a sinner. And yet, there it is in scripture. And the Bible is going to correct us and train us. Why? Because God is getting us ready for the kingdom of heaven. But you know what? I don't like to be told that. I don't like the law of God. The law of God produces fear, anxiety, anger. Why? Because God says, now this is before the flood and after the flood, and God saw that every intent of the thought of man's heart was only evil continually. See, God's not saying, hey, you compare yourselves to one another and figure out who's going to be good. No. God says, from my perspective, every intent of your heart, in other words, every thought, every feeling, every emotion, people, you're being selfish. You have evil motives. Even when you so-called plan to do good things, quite often they come from evil motives. What's the saying? No good deed goes unpunished. Why? Or the road to hell is paved with good intentions? Because we are indeed, by nature, as we said, sinful and unclean. And we need to hear that. We need to be brought low. We need to have anxiety and fear and anger. Why? I'm a poor sinner. Because only then will we really understand why we need a Savior. Then we'll be open to the sweetness of the gospel. Then we'll know Jesus saved me. I didn't deserve it. It's a gift of God. And then we rejoice in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen? And that's why we need it. This is not a Dr. Reverend feel good, always make you happy church. This is a biblical church, and God speaks in law and gospel. And so we want to bring it all out. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We're not ashamed of the law or the gospel. We will preach the whole word and teach the whole word. So the Bible is very, very important. Here, this Ethiopian is reading the Bible. What does it mean, this suffering, sir? So Philip says, hey, I can tell you what it means. Realize how important you are in the ministry of Jesus Christ? You realize that? Because quite often, God chooses the fallible things of the world to confuse the wise. Look at it. The Bible is solid, always true. That's not so true with preachers, is it? Not so true with you. Not so true with Sunday school teachers or when you witness. Hey, we're fallible. We make mistakes. But God uses this foolish thing to help you and develop in your life. So God calls all of us to what? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's what we're called to do. To go out into the situations where God sends us and let God provide the opportunity, but be open to it. Now, you can imagine if Philip would have gone to Gaza and just started riding his horse and went out, okay, God, I'm here. And the Ethiopian eunuch rode by. Oh, yeah, interesting. Sure. And went the other way. No, he was open. Okay, God, what do you want me to do? So both are important. Jesus preached and taught. He helps us to do the same, to preach and to teach and to go out and be part of his mission. It's important. So Philip explains to him what this all means. Now, what had just happened at this time? Anybody know? What festivals did we just go through? And we're still in. Yeah, we went through Good Friday, right? Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter. It's still Sundays after Easter. So what happened? Jesus had just died. He was risen from the dead. These people are going out proclaiming all this. And here, the Holy Spirit moved the Ethiopian to be studying this scripture. He moved Philip to be there, moved them to witness. And what did the Ethiopian eunuch do? He believed. Yeah, we'll get there. He believed that. He believed. so God used not only the scriptures with Philip and how they were hand in hand. So the Ethiopian believed. And of course, his statement was, hey, what's then preventing me baptizing? Philip says, hey, do you actually believe this thing? Is this your confession? He says, yeah, I do. So it says he went down to the water. Now, I got to make a little side note. It says he went down to the water. There's no water there. There's a well. There's a well of Abraham. So if people say you have to immerse, what do they do? Drop him down the well? I baptize you. Right? No. They obviously brought the water up the bucket and poured it over him. You know? So that's the side note. So anyway, so the Ethiopian eunuch is baptized. And what happens? They're elated. They're excited. Now let me tell you what happened to the Ethiopian eunuch by tradition now. Because the scripture doesn't tell us what happened to this. But tradition was, he worked for Candace. By the way, Candace is a title, not her name. Candace is a word like Pharaoh. So when someone has a word like Candace, it means like ruler. Okay? So he goes back and he works for Candace, but the Ethiopians tell us that it was the Ethiopian eunuch that made this big conversions in Ethiopia. And then he would travel through Africa and converted many people. And what happened to Philip? Well, Philip, it says something weird. It says, he was caught up in the spirit and finally, suddenly found himself in Azotus. Now, some people with the spirit suddenly just transport him miraculously. What happened? Well, I think I know. Have you ever been with somebody when they first said, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord? It's exhilarating. It's exciting. You're going, hey, that person has just now entered into life. He's now a brother and sister in Christ. This is exciting. And sometimes you can lose track of what you're doing. I was driving from Brown Sterling down back to Ray, so usually I would take like 52 off of a brush, but that's out of my way. So I went down these side roads, and I knew where I was supposed to turn. And I was listening to the radio, and I was really excited because I thought God answered one of my prayers in a very positive way. So I'm listening, I'm all excited, and I knew I had to turn that, and I'm driving, and suddenly I see this sign, "Welcome to Kansas." Kind of missed my turn. All right? So sometimes you can, and God does move you. And I think that's what felt. Philip went out praising God. He was praising God, and the Spirit just kind of led him. And suddenly, he prays throughout all that time. He goes, oh, I'm in Azotus. Okay? And so God used Philip there in Azotus to start a church. Now, Philip had not yet met Paul yet. So this is even before Paul. So Philip created a bunch of Christians there, and then after they became Christians, he started going all along outside there and making more people believe and see that Jesus Christ was the risen Lord and Savior. Now, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to move us. See, we all ride in our own chariots. You've been in those chariots. Now, you've been reading Scripture. But somebody came to you and started explaining things to you. Maybe it was your mom or dad. Maybe a Sunday school teacher. A wife or a husband. Maybe it was a stranger. My dad heard about Jesus, studied Scripture, but really didn't believe. And then a guy from India named Paul Parker came and talked to him. And then dad accepted Christ. One of the third grade. So these things happen. They go on. The Spirit moves. But we're in that. We have to give thanks to God through the Holy Spirit that we have these people in our lives. And we're riding a chariot right now where we're learning and experiencing and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Scripture commands, us to gather together. And we've done that. We're here to give praise to God because He has saved us through Jesus Christ. That's what the message comes to us in the chariot. You're not all alone. You're not by yourself. You are grafted onto the vine to Jesus Christ. He is your Savior. He is your salvation. He is your life. You are never alone. And God will still send people into our lives to help us grow in Christ. He will still send people into our lives to help us prepare for everlasting. everlasting life. And he will send us. Sometimes I will. But he will send us to other people. And I pray that we're open enough to hear this of God, that the Spirit's moving, to proclaim the gospel, because we're riding this big chariot. And just like Elijah took the chariot up to heaven.